Alrighty, well, good morning, everyone. Great to see you all this morning. So this morning, we're continuing in the book of Philippians with our series titled Increasing Your Joy. We're going to be looking at chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. And if you're using the Bible under the chair in front of you, Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16 is on page 952. Last week, we looked at Paul's vision of knowing Christ. And Paul made knowing Christ the most important thing in his life because nothing compares to knowing Jesus Christ. And some people may have thought that Paul had made it in the Christian life, that he'd done all there is to do, that he'd arrived. But in this passage, Paul clarifies that in spite of all he's accomplished, he hasn't made it. He hasn't already reached his goal. But rather than being a discouragement to him, this fact motivates him all the more to keep moving forward for God, with God's purpose for his life. So let's read through Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for another day, and we thank you, as we always do each week, for just this opportunity to gather here this morning and focus on your word and nothing else, to get all the distractions of this world, leave them at the door, and just spend time with each other focused on you. And Father, we pray that your word gets into our hearts, that it changes our lives, even if it's just slightly, that we leave here knowing more about you than we did when we came in. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. On May 6, 1954, Roger Bannister became the first man in history to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. Within 2 months, John Landy beat his record by 1.4 seconds. So on August 7, 1954, the two men ran a race to see who was the fastest. As they moved into the last lap, Landy held the lead, and it looked like he was going to win. But as he neared the finish line, he was haunted by this one question: where is Bannister? As he turned to look back, Bannister took the lead. Landy later told the Time magazine reporter, "If I hadn't looked back, I would have won." Have you ever run a race? Running a race requires focus, physical exertion, and perseverance. Running a race means you're in it for the long haul, as long as it takes. And from start to finish, you put all distractions aside. You remain focused on one thing: moving forward and finishing the race. You don't look back. You don't turn around. And most importantly, you don't quit. Now, the Bible compares the Christian life to a race. There are different kinds of races. The Christian life is best compared to a marathon. It's not a 100-yard dash. It's not a walk in the park. It's a daily challenge which requires focus, effort, and perseverance. It requires those things to overcome any obstacles in your way. You're a long-distance runner, and that requires a strong forward focus to keep moving. Paul shares that forward focus with us in today's passage. Paul's focus is on what lies ahead, rather than what lies behind. In these verses, Paul shows us three ways we can move forward. The first one is live out God's purpose for my life. Live out God's purpose for my life. So let's read verse 12 again. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Now, Paul is showing us two ways that we can live out God's purpose for our life. A is be honest about where you are in your Christian walk. Look at Paul's honesty. Even after all he's accomplished, he doesn't claim to be perfect. He doesn't claim that he's made it as a Christian, that he's already arrived. Paul refers back to verse 10 and states that he has not become like Jesus in his death, which means he's not become perfect. Paul realizes that he still has a long way to go. And he shares that honestly with the Philippians. Paul knows that being honest with them will help them be honest with each other, which will help them all keep moving forward in their faith. So here's the thing, we're all at different levels of spiritual growth in our walk with Christ. We all have some difficulties, and we all have struggles in our lives. It's important to be honest about where you are in your Christian walk. And the first place that has to happen is we have to be honest with ourselves. That's why when he was talking about the renewing of your mind, Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." See, Paul's saying that we shouldn't think that we're further along in our walk, that we're more spiritually mature than we actually are. But he's also saying that we shouldn't think less of ourselves, that we're less spiritually mature than we are, that we need to take an honest look at where we are. And we also need to be honest with each other. I think a lot of time, Christians, especially new believers, but not always, they have a hard time being honest with others about where they are in their Christian walk. I mean, I can remember this, like when you go to church, looking at all these other Christians or at a Christian gathering, and you're looking around at all these people that seem to have it all together. They seem like they're living their lives for Christ. And they've already figured it all out. The only thing you're thinking about is that one thing that you're struggling with. It might be a difficult situation you're going through, or a sinful habit that you're having a hard time getting away from. And you're thinking, I could never share that with these people. There's no way that they would understand that. Well, you know what? Yes, we would. Because we're all struggling with something. Every believer, every one of us, has something that they're struggling with. And more than likely, somebody is struggling with or has struggled with the same thing that you are. You see, one of the ways we grow together spiritually is by sharing our struggles with each other, helping each other get through difficult situations, or helping each other overcome sinful habits that we might be struggling with. And the only way we can help each other is if we're honest with each other. And being honest about where you are in your Christian walk will help others be honest as well. And the second way we can live out God's purpose for our life is B, make God's purpose for your life your goal. In the second half of verse 12, Paul says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And what Paul's saying is that he's going to continue to do his best to live his life for Jesus so that he can serve God's purpose for his life. God chose Paul because God had a purpose for Paul's life. And Paul made God's purpose for his life his goal. If you're a Christian, God chose you because he has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for the life of every Christian. And that's what Paul was saying to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, when he said, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you were made, when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. God has a purpose for you. There's one thing I want to make sure that we all understand, and that's that our salvation is not God's purpose for our lives. Fortunately, it's a great part of it. Your salvation is not the end goal. We don't get saved and that's it. Your salvation is actually the very beginning of God's purpose for your life. It all starts right there, and then you move forward. God's purpose for the life of every Christian is for us to bring glory to him. And the main way we do that is by sharing the gospel message with people that don't know Jesus Christ. And through that knowledge, they may become saved. That's what Jesus was saying to his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, which is called the Great Commission. Here's what he said. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. C.S. Lewis said it like this. The glory of God, and as our only means to glorifying him, the salvation of human souls, is the real business of life. Bringing glory to God by spreading the gospel message is the main purpose in the life of every Christian. But God uses each one of us in different ways. He gives each one of us different gifts or gifts. We're to use those together to accomplish his purpose. We can move forward by living out God's purpose for our life, and number two, keep looking forward. Paul tells us in verses 13 and 14, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. You can't run very well looking backward. You can't drive forward looking in the rearview mirror. If you're going to press on toward the goal that God has for your life, you're going to need to keep looking forward at all times. Paul gives us three things we can do to help us keep looking forward. A is get rid of distractions. In verse 13, Paul wrote, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Now, Paul had a lot going on. Among other things, he was in prison. He'd planted several churches that he was concerned about, how they were doing. But Paul was able to focus in one direction and say, one thing I do. He got rid of his distraction and kept his focus on Jesus Christ. Now, we all do a lot of different things. We all get pulled in a lot of different directions each day. It's hard to keep your focus when you have so much to do, isn't it? But you can't run a good race when you're distracted from the goal. Now, a lot of what we do is good and necessary. But there are a lot of things in our lives that we know are just distractions. And some of these distractions could even be harmful to us or others. So we need to learn to get rid of the distractions in our life so we can keep looking forward. Keep our focus on Jesus Christ. And one thing that might help us do that is something that news anchor Dan Rather used to do. Now, in order to keep his professional objective in mind, Dan Rather looked at a question often throughout the day that he had written on three slips of paper. He put one in his pocket, one in his wallet, and one on his desk. The question he wrote on those three pieces of paper was, is what you're doing now helping the broadcast. Think about that. How much more focus would you have on Jesus Christ if you put a sticky note on your TV or on your computer screen that said, is what you're doing now bringing glory to God? The first thing we can do to keep looking forward is get rid of distractions. And the second one is forget about your past. In the second half of verse 13, after he said, but one thing I do, Paul said, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. See, Paul didn't worry about his past. And Paul had quite a past. He persecuted the church, and he'd accomplished a lot of things. He had a lot in his past. But he kept his focus on what was ahead, not what was behind. Do you ever look back at your past in a way that keeps you from moving forward in your Christian life? Some people look back at how they've served God in the past, and they're happy with that, and they don't see any need to serve Him in the present. They've already done their part. Other people have the opposite problem. Instead of looking at their past successes, they focus on their past failures. They think that because they failed God in the past, that He can't use them in the future. If that's you this morning, I'd like to remind you that God has forgiven you, and He has work for you to do. He is the God of second chances, and not only that, third, fourth, fifth chances. How many ever we need, that's the God we serve. And in fact, He might use your past failures to help you minister to somebody right now. If you keep looking backward, you'll never move forward. That's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. And the last thing we can do to keep looking forward is keep growing to be more like Jesus Christ. In verse 14, Paul said, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. See, Paul's going to keep moving forward. That is, he's going to keep living his life for Jesus and keep growing to be more like Jesus each and every day until he meets him face to face. That's why he said in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1a, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. That's an example we all need to follow. We need to keep looking forward, keep our focus on Jesus Christ. And the way we do that is through hearing the word. Listening to the word being preached, by reading and studying the Bible, and by spending time with God in prayer. We can move forward if we live out God's purpose for our life. And number two, keep looking forward. And then number three, keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Let's read through the verses 15 and 16. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. So the first thing we see here is that Paul says, A, mature believers will think the same as he does. Paul's pretty confident. He's saying that mature believers will all recognize the same things he does, that they're not perfect, that they still have a long way to go. That's why he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. And Paul goes on to say, if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Again, Paul is confident that he's right here. And he's confident that if someone gets off track, someone starts thinking differently than what he's teaching, that God's going to reveal that to them. He's going to reveal the truth to them. If we keep moving forward in our spiritual growth, stay close to God, two things are going to happen. One is we'll grow in our understanding that God's word is truth. That's what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 7, verse 17, when he said, anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. And the second thing is, if we ever get off track, God will correct us. I mean, any one of us can stray from the truth slightly. Any one of us can stray out of his will once in a while. But if we do, he's going to let us know. He's going to reveal that to us. And the way he does that is through his word. As we read his word, it's going to point out things in our life that we need to fix. Through the Holy Spirit, who helps us understand and correct the things that we need to correct. And through other believers, other Christians. That's why we need to fellowship with each other. That's why coming to church is so important, that we can hold each other accountable. We can keep an eye on each other and make sure that we're all where we should be and help each other grow and stay in God's will. And the second way we keep moving forward is keep living out what you've already gained. In verse 16, Paul said, only let us live up to what we have already attained. See, Paul closes by encouraging the Philippians to manage their progress, to maintain their progress in the faith. He's telling them to keep living out what they've already gained. As we continue to grow in spiritual maturity, we're going to live more of our lives in God's will. Now, that might sound like it could be a little more difficult as we grow. But in reality, the more we grow in spiritual maturity, the easier it is to live in God's will. Maybe you're a new believer, or maybe you've never had the time to sit down and study the Bible. And you're thinking, I really haven't learned anything. I really haven't gained anything. So how do I live that out? Well, you have gained something. When you gave your life to Christ, you gained the knowledge of him. You gained the knowledge of what he's done for you, the forgiveness of your sins. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Paul said we should live up to what we've already attained. If you're a new believer, what you've attained is that knowledge, and you should be living your life in repentance or turning away from your old sinful ways. There's no such thing as an idle Christian. We're all moving one way or the other. If we're not moving forward and growing, then we're moving backward. Every day that a person doesn't read Scripture, they move further away from God. And if a person neglects reading Scripture long enough, they'll get to a point where God's word doesn't really mean anything to them anymore. We have a choice to make. We can choose to ignore our spiritual growth and not take time to read and study the Bible, or make time to spend with God in prayer and continue to move further and further away from God, losing sight of his purpose for our lives. Or we can choose to follow Paul's example. We can keep moving forward in our spiritual growth by spending time in the Bible, by spending time with God in prayer, spending time with other Christians. When we do that, we're going to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. We're going to continue moving forward in our spiritual growth and becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for providing it, for loving us so much that you put it down here for us to guide us, direct us, correct us, and encourage us, Father, more than anything. It's a huge encouragement. We thank you for sending your Son here to die on the cross, to take away our sins so that we can have a relationship with you, Father. Thank you so much for that. And we just pray that your word doesn't sit idle in our hearts this week, that we start living it out, if we're not already, throughout this week. Pray that you can use us in every situation that we come into. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Keeping our focus on Jesus Christ is one of the reasons why we do communion here at the Orchard. We don't ever want to lose focus of what he's done for us. This is the time when we can just think about things that we need to correct in our lives. We can ask the Holy Spirit to just point out anything that we may need to change, something we may not even know about. Something ever so subtle that it just needs to be corrected. And we can just confess that to him right now. So just take a moment and confess anything that's weighing you down, anything that's going on that you just need to give to him and take that load off of yourself. Let's just take a minute and do that. Just give whatever it is you're hanging on to him. Ask him to just take it out of your heart, to take it away. Thank you, Father, for just lifting that weight off of our shoulders, for just freeing us from anything that's holding us down. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Thank you. This is the body of Jesus Christ. In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." This is the blood of Jesus Christ. Whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your obedience to the Father. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we might have a relationship with the Father. Lord Jesus, it's in your name that we pray and that we live our lives from this day forward. Amen.
Amen.
Would you stand with us as we close?